This used to be a regular occurrence in churches, but now most preachers are just amateur psychologists. That's all they're doing, trying to make everybody feel good about themselves. Okay, we'll go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand this, help us know how to apply it, and help us to see the big picture of what's going on in the invisible world, the spiritual world, and help us realize that when we can wrestle against spiritual wickedness through prayer and the Word of God, and I pray you'd help us to understand what Daniel learned. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you can see right off the bat, it says the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Okay, so Daniel, remember, as a 15-year-old kid, approximately 15, he was ripped out of his very cushy life as a child of royal seed, and he was taken over to Iraq or Babylon. They tried to brainwash him to be assimilated into the Iraqi or the Babylonian culture. They changed his name from a Jewish name to a Babylonian name. And then he served under that administration for 70 years, and now he's 3 years into the second nation, Cyrus. So he's approximately 90 years old. Okay, and the Lord is showing him some things. And a lot of those heartaches that people have, instead of making them bitter, Daniel's one of the rare that makes them better. Okay, everywhere you go, you and I walk around places, we walk by people that are carrying deep hurts. Virtually everybody. Okay, and they try to mask them. So Daniel had that wound all his life where he was ripped away from his family. His parents were probably killed in the battle. Okay, and so, but yet God still used some things in his life. Okay, Jan and I, after we dropped Heidi off, she listened to Shelley Hamilton's testimony. Is it on YouTube? Is that what you're listening to? Shelley Hamilton is the wife of Ron Hamilton, the song we sang. And Ron Hamilton today is suffering from dementia. He has been for 7 years. Okay, and Shelley Hamilton's son, 18-year-old, he was a schizophrenic. He died. The heartache this lady went through. And his started when he was 18 when he took some medicine for dermatology, for like acne. That medication did something. And it went from one thing to another. So that medication, you better read them side effects. Okay, and so, but the heartaches, you know, everybody's got these heartaches. All of us, you know, some of you, I know your heartaches, you know, and, you know, we all got these heartaches. And so that's part of life. That just shows the struggles of life, and hopefully it makes us look forward to heaven. So, but, I mean, these are honestly, this is an honest to goodness heartache. I mean, this is a real heartache. It's not, you know, oh, my air conditioner went out. You know? And that's the Americans, when you travel in foreign cultures, you see the poverty that people have. Okay, and we are sure spoiled in our country. Even though with the heartaches, we're spoiled. Okay, I could just easily mention, Miss Ronnie's got her daughters, you know, paralyzed, bedridden. That's a heartache. Okay, and her husband's an amazing person to take care of her. Okay, and, you know, at the judgment seat, I see somebody like that. I don't want to be next in line. You know, what'd you suffer? Well, I mean, it's a big deal to us, that Heidi's situation. That's bad. But bedridden, that's ooh. And the Lord is going to honor. It's going to honor people like that. And so Daniel had a heartache, and God used the heartache to enlighten him about some things that nobody else saw. And when he explained it to some people, they probably looked at him like, you're kind of crazy. You're a nut job. Because he's dealing with something spiritual. Okay, Daniel 10, verse 1. In the third year, Cyrus, king of Persia. Okay, so we know that's Media Persia. It's two nations in one. And I like how the Bible writes it. A thing was revealed unto Daniel. What's a thing? A thing. Okay, then whose name was called Belteshazzar. So that's his Iraqi name. The Bel, the B-E-L is the short for Baal, B-A-A-L. And another part of that is Beelzebub, the Lord of the Flies. And the Bel, the B-E-L, is the way of for Allah. It's actually a synonym for Allah. Okay, so Belteshazzar, and he calls it again, and the thing was true. The thing. So what did he see? Okay, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing. That'd be a good message title, The Thing. I'm going to tell you a thing. Thing! Okay, and had understanding of the vision. Okay, now the thing's called a vision. Okay, so understanding is inspiration. That's the inspiration of the Bible. And so he understood something, but then somebody's going to explain it to him. It says, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Okay, so some event happened. I don't know if it was a national event. Now, you know, many of us just all heard Kobe Bryant died in a helicopter accident. And so the news media is going to say, the nation is in mourning. Really? Everybody's going to go to work tomorrow, and most people are going to forget about it. Okay, and that's the thing. You know, these famous people, and everybody thinks about these famous people. And, you know, they really, oh, he could put an orange ball in an orange hoop that was 10 feet above the ground. Now, I like basketball. I like doing that too. But can you imagine if Michael and Gabriel met him at the pearly gates and they said, why should you come into heaven? He said, hey, I'm a basketball player. I could take an orange ball. And Michael, looking at Gabriel, said, wow, I'm impressed. You know, and so, but there's like what they call national mourning, where you put the flag at half mast. But most people just go on your life. Yeah. That's life. That's reality. Yeah. Okay, and if you ask the average person, if there maybe somebody famous in the past, say it's 10 o'clock in the morning, and you ask them, have you ever thought of this person today, Elvis Presley? Did you ever think about him? No. And then if you ask, have 10 o'clock, have you thought of the name Jesus today? Oh yeah, I've thought of that. Okay, so fame is a fleeting idea. Okay, so Daniel was mourning 3 full weeks. He said, I eat no pleasant bread. So I don't think it was a total abstinence of fast. Okay, ate no pleasant bread, no donuts, you know, pastries. And neither came flesh nor wine into my mouth. So he's dropping all meat products. Okay, no wine. That could also include or involve new wine. Because remember, at the beginning when he was 15, he wasn't going to drink the king's wine. So that was probably something unique. But so neither did I anoint myself at all. Until 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Okay, anointing is like he had special wardrobe in his position. So he was just, you know, walking around in his PJs or something. I don't know. Okay, so, but it doesn't look like it's a total abstinence of food. Even though 21-day fast, it's not impossible to do. It is a fasting. If you do fasting, the first couple of times is a mental thing. It's all mental. I'm starving to death. No, you're not. You know, I was dreaming about eating cotton candy and I woke up and my pillow was missing. No, okay, so it's not, that's how that goes. And so, you know, there's some people that have done a lot of fasting. Okay, a guy named Paul Bragg was very studious on fasting, where he wanted to test some college young men, and he did a 30-day fast. On after the 30-day fast, or in the fast toward the end of it, he allowed these college young men to eat anything they wanted, and they were going to go on a 30-mile hike. I mean, they could scarf down any food they wanted. And so he put them to a test, and none of them even made it 10 miles, and he finished the hike by himself. And he was demonstrating that fasting is very healthy for the body, okay? But yet, there's certain ways of doing things. In this context, like I said, it doesn't appear to be a total abstinence of food, okay? But it is some sort of a fast. And then it says, and in the 420th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, okay? So that's the name of the river back then, in Iraq, Babylon. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with the fine gold of Uphaz. So it looks like very expensive apparel. Now he says it's a certain man. If you've read through the Bible a few times, you know that angels, when they manifest themselves to be men. And it's confusing to some of them. Who is this, man or what? So it appears to be an angel. And it says his body was like the beryl. Beryl is a substance that has aluminum in it. So I don't know if he's the Tin Man on the Wizard of Oz. Okay, but I watched something about that where the straw man and the tin man, the straw man originally was going to the tin man, and then he was allergic from the aluminum and all the makeup, so they put him to be the straw man. Back and forth. Can you imagine all that aluminum's coming in their skin? Ooh. People forget that your skin is your largest organ of the body. And what you put on it absorbs into your body. But, that's how it goes. Okay, so whoever this is, it certainly appears to be an angel. So this angel's got knowledge of heaven, knowledge of the spiritual things, and he's going to give Daniel some understanding here. His body also was like the beryl, and his face has the appearance of lightning. Okay, lightning. That can go both ways. Remember, Jesus in Luke 10:18 says, I beheld Satan fall as lightning. This is why the Amish don't like to use electricity. They feel it's satanic. But yet the SF's troops, they had the SS was in the shape of a lightning. Okay, and then the Antichrist in the tribulation, Revelation chapter 13, he will be giving some oratory to these people, and somebody like Ian Paisley might speak up and said, you're the Antichrist. And he said, no, I'm not. Watch this. If I am not of God, may lightning strike you. And all of a sudden there's a body there with, blackened and soot, and that's pretty convincing. Revelation 13:13 says he'll be able to do that. That'd be pretty convincing. Okay, but this one, of course, the appearance of lightning, where the second coming of Christ, it's like lightning also, the sun. So you can go both ways on this. His eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like the color to polished brass. Brass in the Bible is usually symbolizing a judgment. And the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Now that one is a parallel to Revelation 1:15, referencing the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so if you can imagine it where a couple years back, we were in New York, and Jay and Ash took us to Niagara Falls, and it was freezing everywhere. It was really amazing to see it in a frozen condition, but still there that water's coming down. And you see that water coming down, and the power of that water coming down. And it took eons and billions of years to do that. And that's the voice of the Lord. There's a guy that did a study in Niagara Falls and tried to figure out, well, if it eroded 5 feet per, 1 foot per year, how far back would it take us? He could only get it to 10,000 years. That was the max. And it actually erodes 5 feet per year. So it makes it kind of younger. But, you know, that's science. That's pure science. That's not the fake science. And they don't want us to take that. Okay, the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Okay, authority. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. So a vision is how God, in the Old Testament, generally would reveal his words before there's written revelation. And so then this is going to be pinned into written revelation. He talked to them through dreams and visions. But often it's a select person that he shows this to. It's an individual. Where Jesus is a little bit pessimistic in the Laodicean church age, where he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He said, "If any man hear my voice, I will come into him and sup with him." That's the age we're living in, the church age. And so the Lord's like, is anybody listening? And in Revelation 3:20, when somebody does listen, an individual, the Lord comes in and sups with him and he with him. So Daniel was alone and saw the vision, and for the men that were with him saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them. So the earth was shaking in that area, the quaking. It was a thunderous boom when God spoke audibly to Jesus, and everybody said it sounded like thunder, but Jesus heard the audible words. So at the rapture, every believer, every born-again believer is going to hear, "Come up hither." Amen. He might even say your name. And you say, "I can't fly." Don't worry about it. Okay? "Come up hither." And the world is going to think somebody pushed the button. The world's going to think a bomb went off. And then the Antichrist has got to explain that. Okay? And it won't be hard for him to explain because it says he's going to deceive the whole world. Okay, and so that, man, that's a wonderful thought. That's when all your problems are fixed. So I would dare say this would be a good year for that. But a great quaking fell upon them so that they fled to hide themselves, okay? They were scared to death also. As they heard this voice, saw this thunder, saw this lightning, scared to death, yeah. And then it says, "Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remaineth no strength in me." So he passed out. "For my comeliness was turned in me into corruption. I retain no strength." Okay, "and yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground." You know, that's not how Oral Roberts described it when he saw Jesus. It's funny, the visions in the Bible are different than these charismatic visions. I mean, wow. He passed out. That is a normal response. Okay, he did that, John did that, and it's funny, both those men did that, and both those are like Old Testament, New Testament companions, I guess you could say. But they passed out. And then verse 10, "And behold, a hand touched me." Okay, the hand would obviously be the man that's standing there. "And set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands." So now he's on all fours. Probably shaking his head. Is this happening? Am I seeing this? This is, oh man. "And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved." Wouldn't that be quite a message, airmail? Yeah. You get a message from heaven, and in heaven they said, "You're greatly beloved." And that's said three times here. Three times, "greatly beloved." Oh man, that beats anything the Pope produced years ago. Years ago, the Pope was trying to sell indulgences, and he got this message from Peter himself. It was in gold ink. It came airmail. And people thought it was true. You know, man, oh man. But what a thing. You know, if you get a note from somebody and said they're praying for you, I mean, that's a blessing to send notes around and tell people how much you appreciate them. You know, a car dealer You know, if somebody sells a car or something like that, but about all they hear is the complaints. Whoever goes into them and say, I thank you for selling me that car. It's turned out to be pretty good. They'd probably, what? Huh? Oh, I don't hear those too often. You see? And so, I mean, that's, you know, to compliment people, to thank them for things. Okay, but if somebody wrote you a little note and said, I'm praying for you. Hey, guess what? Jesus Christ wrote you that note. John 17. John 17 is the real Lord's Prayer. And Jesus Christ is praying for each one of his children. Man, better than, you know, one guy, one preacher I knew, he wasn't real fond of me. And he said, man, we're praying for you, brother. And I'm kind of thinking, what are you praying? I said, yeah, well, I need a prayer. You need to practice. But I'm not sure what you mean by that. Okay, but here Daniel, and when he heard that a man greatly beloved, I think the deep wound he had as a 15-year-old kid, I think this, some of the scar healed over. Yeah. And God in heaven is telling him how much he loved him. A man greatly beloved. And then it says, okay, understand the words that I speak unto thee, the words in the vision, so God's making his words known, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. That's good. I don't even have the cross reference there. You could throw in there Ezra 9:4. Isaiah 66:2, where it says, to this man will I look, the man that trembleth at my words. Okay, so he stood trembling. And hey, that is a normal response. He's dealing with a spiritual being, an angel there. And man, this is not normal. Okay, on this one. I really think this is a joke amongst all the angels. When they pop from invisible to visible, they always say, peace be unto thee. And that's like, oh, that's easy for you to say. You scared the living daylights out of me. Okay, so then verse 12. Then said he unto me, fear not. Okay, there we go, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand. Diligent. How diligent are people? Hebrews 11:6, it says, if we seek after him diligently, people will study, their internet, and they'll study this and study that, study this and study that. But what about the book? Amen. What about the words of God? Amen. Oh, no, that's fanatical. Thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God. Thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Okay, now, some people obviously pervert the idea of chastening themselves, where they flog themselves. The monks, the nuns, they'll whip themselves, okay? So, sure, a guy can throw in his opinion what chastening means. I'm one to believe. Let's find it someplace else in the Bible. Let the Bible interpret it. And I use the Leviticus on this one, on the chastening. The Leviticus chapter 16, verse 29, shows that what he means by chastening yourself is fasting. Okay? Going without food, going without sleep, a certain portion, certain amount. Okay? That's what they're talking about chastening. It's not some monk in a monastery by themselves taking a whip. It's not somebody crawling up the side of the, you know, some place to see Our Lady of Guadalupe, where they crawl up there with this broken glass and they're cutting their knees. Their knees are all... That's not the chastening. That is self-righteousness in extreme. Yeah. That's what that is. You know, that's down in Costa Rica where they, you know, over 3 million Costa Ricans, when we were there last August, 3 million Costa Ricans walk on the average 22 kilometers to go see a black stone that looks like a Madonna. And we saw they were. It was a 4-lane highway, not an interstate, but a city. And we stood there abreast, seven of us, passing out gospel tracts, and passed out 2,500 tracts in less than 2 hours. The track was "Why Is Mary Crying?" We thought that would be appropriate. And then I would walk down a little bit to see how many were thrown in the ground. I think I picked up, recycled 20 of them. I mean, and then 2,500, and Brent did not get one phone call. That is a passive culture. Somebody should have gotten mad by reading that track, or at least convicted. I mean, not one phone call, because I was nervous about that. You put your phone number on there. Fortunately, he didn't put his address, because I know what happened to Alberto and Jack Chick when they published some of those things. I mean, Jack Chick, you know, house shot and all this stuff. But I guess some Brent said, the Costa Ricans are so laid back. You figured it out pretty quick, son. But I don't know. He did get a call just recently, a good one, from when he was out street preaching. Somebody responded. So that was a blessing. Okay, so verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 21 days. And lo, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, okay, now you got to try to figure this out. Okay, that pretty much verifies that the man standing there was some type of an angel. So Daniel starts praying about something, trying to get an answer, and then God in heaven said, okay, you, Clarence, go tell him what my answer is. So he takes off, flying through the space. And some king of Persia, some demonic being over the nation of Persia, grabbed him and withstood him for 21 days. Grabbed him, imprisoned him. I don't know what he did to him. Grabbed him, stopped him. This king of Persia, because every nation has a spirit over the nation, and then they have a chain of command, and could not deliver his message. Okay, his first priority was deliver this message. Angels in the Bible have two major attributes. One is wisdom, one is strength. Michael displays the strength. Gabriel, the gift of gab, displays the wisdom. When Gabriel shows up, he is disclosing information or truth to somebody. When Michael shows up, he's whomping somebody. That's the Hebrew word for smacking them on the head. Okay, so Michael's strong. So for 21 days, this angel with this message was detained. Somehow, some way, I have no idea how. This is what you would call Star Wars. This is real Star Wars. And then Michael shows up and he whomps on the prince of Persia. So now he is degraded because he's wounded. And the devil's kingdom works by the survival of the fittest. It's just like nature. And since this angel is wounded, the angel or devil over Greece said, I'm taking advantage of this, and he whomps on him more, and then Greece conquers Persia. It goes in the spiritual world first, down to the physical world. So then this angel is let loose, and then he goes to deliver Daniel the message, and then he goes back and finishes the whomping. And that's what knocked him down further. And then you've got Greece overcoming Persia. That's the spiritual kingdom. That's the Star Wars that's going on. Today, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. So that's where it's happening, in the first atmosphere more than anything. So this is an unseen warfare that you and I don't see. Now, there's a fellow named Peretti. Frank Peretti? That has written some pretty good books on these things. Now, he's not a Bible believer, but still, it gives you the insight. And I haven't detailed it. He might, filter in some New Agey stuff. But it doesn't matter. You still get the gist of it. And it will encourage you to pray more. It will. It will encourage you to pray more. Okay, and then verse 14 says, "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall the people in the latter days." Okay, so the people in the context, obviously Israel. That'd be chapter 9. In the latter days, so he's pushing this prophecy into the future, into Revelation, for yet the vision is for many days. So when Daniel gets his book written up, chapter 12, in verse 4, he says, okay, now Dan, he said, seal it up. Daniel, seal it up until the time of the end. So now the book of Daniel is being opened up to us because the closer we are to the coming. Thank God for that. "And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground and I became dumb." So he passed out again. Come on, if Michael's standing there, I'm seeing him. Yes. "And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him and stood before me, O my Lord, by that vision my sorrows are turned up upon me, and I have retained no strength. And how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord?" Now I like the respect. See, I like that. You know, I walk into a place of business and, you know, a guy says, "Hey, bud." Sure, I don't expect to be called sir, but, you know, just politeness with people. Now, some you know, it kind of bugs me sometimes. You know, a lady my age is at a restaurant. We just went, Jan, I went to her, and she says, "Hey, dear, what do you want?" I'm not your dear. But I understand some of that's just the way people are, and they weren't being rude about it. But I like how in the Bible, my Lord, it's a respect. He said, "For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me." Boy, he was really tough. "Then there came again and touched me like one, like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me." So notice, an appearance of a man. So he's now figuring this. First time he saw it's a man, the next time he says, "I don't know what's going on here." "And said, O man greatly beloved," again. Oh man, what a message from God. Ephesians 1:7 says that you're accepted in the beloved through Jesus Christ. You know, everybody wants acceptance. They want that. Children want that from their parents, you know. And unfortunately, a lot of times parents don't give it. So, you know, if my mother and my father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. So like an orphan, God becomes your father. Okay, and so he says, "I'm greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong." Notice, he's just uttering words. Be strong, be strong. Our words have power. Don't underestimate your words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. He said, "Be strong, and when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened." Just by the spoken word. "And said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me." Amen, that's right. "Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee?" You know why I came? "And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia." Okay, that's the one that was given the message. He said, "I'm going back." And a person might say, why didn't he just womp on him the first time? Well, he had to deliver the message first. Priorities. These angels keep their priorities. "And when I was gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come." So he's gonna beat down this spirit over Persia, weaken him, and then the prince of Grecia will guide Alexander the Great into conquering Persia. You see, remember the devil has two things that he is interested in, and it's politics, religion, and politics. He said to Jesus, "If you bow and worship me, I will give you this kingdom." So this tells us that many world leaders have a direct meeting with spirits. Okay, in the Roman days, they would call a Roman soothsayer an augur, A-U-G-U-R, not a corn auger, an auger, and that's where we get the word inaugural address, inaugural ball, okay? And so That's why a person is instructed to pray for them who are in authority over you, because they're dealing with big guns. Okay, and I mean, anybody that reads the Bible and can see the spiritual warfare going on, boy, it is hitting America.
Yes, sir.
There is a spiritual warfare. Okay, this impeachment, it is bigger than this. It's a spiritual thing. Okay, then in verse 21, he says, "And I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth." This is the very first time the word scripture is found in the Bible. Very first time. Here the Bible runs from Genesis clear to Daniel, and the very first time you read the word scripture, there it is. And it's associated with truth. That defines the word. Scripture of truth. "And there is none that holdeth with me in these days but Michael, your prince." Okay, so scripture of truth. And then you can run that word throughout the Bible, and you can run it and discover what is the definition of scripture. Definition of scripture throughout and from Jesus Christ and Paul is paper and ink, sometimes assembled in a book that you can read, and it's true. That's the definition of it. That means the originals are not in that definition. Yes, the originals were true, but they're not available to me. So scripture, you'll hear preachers say, "The scriptures say." What do you mean by that? I've asked that question many times, in writings, and they don't answer the question, and it seems like a silly question. What do you mean by that? And they'll write back, "What do you mean by that?" And I'll write back, "What do you mean by the word scripture?" And then I'll give them multiple choice, because multiple choice is the easiest test. And I'll give them originals, Vaticanus, Sinaiticus, a Lad Metzger, the Nestle's Greek text, a received text, a translation, and boy, does it go from there. Because then they say, "Oh, I'm dealing with something a little different here. Somebody's done a little homework." Scripture, according to 2 Timothy 3:16, which is inspired, is something that Timothy had in his hands, and he didn't have the originals. Thank God the scriptures are something you can get in your hands. And then there's a scripture of truth, and then there's a scripture of counterfeit. You see, and that's where the discretion, where we go back and forth and we figure that out. So, okay, so that's Daniel 10. I think we got it covered. Is the pizza ready for us? Mr. Donnie, is the pizza not for us? No? No, okay. Oh, man. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I thank you for your blessings. Lord, I thank you for the 3.5 years or so that you've allowed the Jeffers to serve here. And I do pray that you'd bless them in the desire of following your leading. And I pray that you just help us to be faithful here, help them to be faithful wherever you lead them in the short term here in Florida. And Lord, I just pray you'd that you'd just help us to be faithful to your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.